I say this every time, and I mean it every time. It is such a joy to be able to be here and to have the honor and the privilege to be, number one, asked to be here, to stand before people that I'm convinced the Lord's everlastingly loved, called out of darkness, and given a heart to want to be together. I too say, as Gabe said, we speak often. 1 to 5 times a day is what I tell people, and I mean that. I'm serious about that. But what a joy to be able to have fellowship. I'm looking around at this group as I was sitting here, and I'm thinking how many people that I have seen grow up, watched them grow up. Eric, Jessica, all you that, I'm so thankful that we're here. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn back to Ecclesiastes. And I'd like to look at one verse out of this passage that Brother Brandon read. I want to look at verse 8, but coming up to it, starting in verse 1 through especially verse 8, the scripture speaks of this theme, if I can say it this way. So it says in verse 1, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And that season, when it says season, this is what it means. There is a set or an appointed time. It's set. And then when it uses the word time, it sets forth the experience or the occurrence of that which the Lord has purposed. So now we're living in a world that is established and it's ordered by the determinate counsel, will, power, of Almighty God. The scripture declares concerning the Lord and his people, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That's Ephesians 1:11. There was a king named Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, one night, was standing out overlooking the kingdom there in Babylon. And he said in his heart, outward, God knew, look at this great Babylon that I've built. And while the words were in his mouth, God took his mind, put him out in the field, let him stay there for years. And when the Lord was pleased to give him his mind back, this was Nebuchadnezzar's confession. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? So according to the word of God, according to God's revelation, the Lord has appointed, he's ordained all that's going to come to pass. And he's ordained the time when he's going to bring all things to pass that he's done. Now this evening, for a few minutes, I want us to think, why did the Lord Jesus Christ come into this world? Why? The scripture declares that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord has a people. He has a people that he's everlastingly loved. They were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world that they should be holy and without blame before God in Christ. Now, when we start talking about all I started going through the book of Ecclesiastes. And as I started going through these, there's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to pluck up that planted kill. These precious scriptures, if we miss the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, this book, what did he tell the two on the road to Emmaus? Beginning with Moses, the prophets, in all the scriptures, he expounded unto them those things concerning himself. So we're here tonight to consider him. I want to consider him. And I want to consider his will, his season, his time for calling out his people. And what happens? This verse of scripture, verse 8, this one verse of scripture, Brother Bob, encompasses the glorious totality, if I can say it like that, of the Lord calling his people, teaching his people, revealing unto them something of themselves and of him, and the joy that they receive knowing him. This one verse of scripture, here is the glorious gospel of God's grace right here. Let's look at verse 8. Remember that all of these scriptures, this is speaking of him. It's speaking of the Lord, his purpose, his work, bringing about, accomplishing his salvation to a people of his everlasting love. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, bore their guilt. He was made sin for his people. And when it pleases him, he's going to call them. And we're going to see right here for a few minutes the truth of Jonah 2:9. It's what Jonah said. Lord taught him something. Taught him something who Jonah was. Taught him something who the Lord was. Taught him something about when God was going to deliver him. And this was Jonah's confession when that whale vomited him out on the sea. He said, "This is it." He said, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I vowed. And this is what he said. Salvation's of the Lord. What does that mean? That means we don't have anything to do with it. That's what it means. Salvation is of the Lord. So here, let's just look for a few minutes. One verse of scripture. Ecclesiastes 3:8. Here's what scripture says. There's a time to love. A time to love. You say, well, I thought that you said that the Lord everlastingly loved his people. He does. He does. But they don't know it until he's pleased to reveal it. There's a time. Turn with me. You hold your place. Mark it right there. Turn over to Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16. I'll look at the first few verses here. Ezekiel 16, verses 1 to 3. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. Now, the scripture is setting forth here through a prophet. God's going to teach his people. He's talking, he said, you say to Jerusalem, well, there's a physical Jerusalem over here, a piece of property over on the other side of the ocean. I'm not talking about that physical place. I'm talking about a heavenly Jerusalem. You tell Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. What does the Lord teach us? First of all, he's going to teach us something of ourselves. We're all descendants from a fallen man. And we're all idolaters by birth. We all worship the little g god of me. We're idolaters. You tell Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Canaan was a cursed land. Father an Amorite, mother an Hittite. Verse 4 and 5. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. Not only are we fallen creatures of dust, sinners from the garden, we're totally, helplessly frail, weak, impotent, spiritually impotent. And we have no ability whatsoever to change ourselves. We don't have a will. People say, talk about a will. I tell you, I got a will. I mean, this will I'm born with. I'll not have this man rule over me. That's my will. That's the way I'm born. I'm dead spiritually. And in Adam, we are totally depraved. What does that mean? Turn over to Isaiah 1, verse 5 and 6. Isaiah 1, 5 and 6. This is what, when we say total depravity, here's what it means. There is no part of us. You talk about whatever parts you got. You're not physical, but you're mental, emotional, spiritual, whatever. Nothing, there's nothing that's not polluted. Isaiah 1, verse 5 and 6. Let's start in verse 4. Isaiah 1, 4, 5, 6. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They're gone away backwards. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head sick. The whole heart faint from the sole of the foot even to the head. There's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises, putrefying sores. They've not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. I'm telling you, man is born spiritually polluted. He's polluted. We're dead. I've said this before. Turn over to Psalm 14. Psalm 14. We talk about, I've heard people refer to this, especially in talking about whenever the Lord chose his people. He chose a people before the foundation of the world. And they'll relate that and they'll say, the Lord looked down and saw who would choose him, so he chose them. You heard that. And I always tell people, he did look. But this is what he saw. Psalm 14, 2 and 3. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. So back in Ezekiel 16 here. Here we are. We know where we are, we know where we've come from, we know what we're made of. We're polluted creatures of the dust. So what does a fallen creature, what hope does he have? We can't do anything, William. We're dead. We're dead. We're dead in trespasses and sins. But the Lord has revealed there's a time of love. is a time of love. Here's the hope for any fallen creature of dust. Ezekiel 16, 6 to 8. And when I passed by thee and saw thee, polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. And thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. When I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. There is a time when Almighty God, who has everlastingly loved his people, when it pleases the Lord. That's what, turn over to Galatians. Galatians, you know where I'm going with this. Galatians chapter 1. There's a time whenever it pleases the Lord, he who has everlastingly loved his people is going to tell them about it. Until then, they don't know it. They don't know him. He said, but when I pass by, when I saw you, I saw you. I saw you in your blood. Your navel wasn't cut. I spread my skirts over you. I covered you. Robes his people in righteousness. Washes them in his precious blood. And he said, there's the time. There was your time, the time of love. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13, 16. Paul the Apostle says, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Brethren, there is a time of love. There's a time of love. That time is according to the Lord's will. There's a season that he's ordained. There's a season. This season is the ordination of what God has purposed. He's ordained. There was a time when Almighty God was going to call his people out, and that time is when he calls them. And when he says, live. And the Spirit of God removes a heart of stone, gives them a heart of flesh. And he said, I'm going to write my law, that law of love. I'm going to write that law on your heart. I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. There's a time of love. Then back in Ecclesiastes 3, the scripture says, and a time to hate. Now, you know, there's so much. I thought about this as I was looking at it. There's so much that's spoken in the scriptures concerning hate. I mean, you can go through and you can take a concordance and you can see different, you know, time to hate Jacob. Have I loved Esau? Have I hated? And hate. But in keeping with the context, whenever the Lord calls one of his own out of darkness, something happens. Now he's revealed unto us, his people. He's revealed what the world's attitude is toward the Lord. And when I say the attitude toward the Lord, this is what I'm saying. The God of this Bible is sovereign. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said. He doeth as he will in the army of heaven. And he's not at anyone's beck and call. I can tell you that. He does as he will. We're grasshoppers. And this is the attitude of the world. I'll just read this. It's Psalm 69, 4. The scripture says, they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. then restored that which I took not away. So I know what, according to the scriptures, I know what the attitude of the world is toward the Lord, because he's the Lord. Man wants to be the Lord, but the Lord is Lord. And he said this is their attitude. And then he warned us concerning those that hate him. He warned his disciples of the hatred that the world would have because of his love for them. Let me just read John 15, 18 to 19. Listen to this. He said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, not only the evil secular world, but the world's religion that hates God, who is God, sovereign God. He said, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So I know that there's a hatred of the world toward the Lord and a hatred of the world toward God's people. I know that. But that's not in keeping with the context of verse 8. I want to tell you, I understand there's a lot of things to be said about hate, but in keeping with this context of the Lord passing by his people, it's a time of love and that regenerating grace, and then there's a time to hate, and I'll tell you what this is. It's that attitude of the new man toward those things that he still sees found in himself. I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, the Apostle Paul penned this truth. Romans 7. When the Lord comes in mercy and compassion and calls one of his own, something happens to that believer. He begins to see something of himself. Romans chapter 7. And let's just look at verse 14, 15. Paul said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not, I know not. But what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. Immediately, when the time of love comes, and the Lord blesses his word by his Spirit to his people, and he calls them out of darkness and reveals himself to them, they see something of who he is and something of themselves. Immediately, according to the word of God, Paul says, what I hate, that's what I do. Have you ever just trying to pray, and all of a sudden you realize, where am I? What was I thinking about? That attitude that I had toward that person, he looked cross at me, and immediately, if they only knew what I thought, that which I do, Paul says, I hate it. There's a time. Until then, I loved my attitude. I was not that bad. I'm not as bad. I guarantee you I'm not as bad as most. I had somebody tell me the other day. He said, well, Marvin, you know, you're a preacher and everything. I said, listen, don't go there with me. I said, you don't have any idea. You have no idea. I said, what goes through my mind and my attitude, and I hate it. Coming up, getting ready to stand in this pulpit, sitting in that chair, few minutes ago. I'll just go ahead and confess it to you. I said, Lord, please help me. I don't deserve the least of your mercies. You know what my thoughts, you know what I've... Please have mercy upon me. Lord, don't leave me to myself. The Lord's people, they know something of what they are. Turn over to Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. The Apostle Paul, he gave a little exhortation of what he used to trust in. And how after the Lord stopped him on the road to Damascus. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And here's a Pharisee, Jared, a Pharisee. One of the strictest of the sects of that time frame. Moral, upstanding. One of them went into the temple one time to pray. And he lifted up his eyes and said, God, I thank thee I'm not as other men are. I tithe. I'm certainly not like this publican out over here. This low life. I'm not like that. Paul the apostle said in Philippians chapter 3. This is after it was his time for love. Philippians 3, 5 to 9. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. Told somebody, I said, now here's what he said. You know what? You go back and look in the account when Ishmael, I think, was 13 years old, you know, when he was circumcised. Paul said, that was not me. I was circumcised on the day of the law. Eighth day, stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrew. My mom and daddy were Hebrews. I come from pure stock. There's no tainted blood in my... Touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. He persecuted the church that in his mind was against the law. Touching righteousness that's in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So there's a time of love. There's a time when God's going to call his people out of darkness. And there's a time to hate. They hate. Every believer is just like this. This is, you talk to any believer, and this is what they're going to tell you. They're going to absolutely agree with you. I hate what I see. Lord, deliver me from myself. But then the scripture says, back in Ecclesiastes, there's a time of war. Time of war. Oh, what happens? Well, as soon as the Lord calls them out of darkness and they see something of themselves, they realize there's a battle going on here. There's a battle. Back in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, 25. Now, this is what's happening. They see themselves. Paul just said in verse 14, 15, that which I do, I hate. But what I hate, that's what I do. I hate it. And listen to this battle that's going on. Romans 7, 18 to 25. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now you look here, back and forth. Now if I do that which I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members, Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. What do you mean that last verse? I'm so thankful God taught me this. I see this battle going on, and I know it's going on. And here I am, I see a law in my members, that law of sin, that body of death, and it's warring against me. And the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary one to the other, and there's a battle. Lord, thank you for showing me that. I'd never know what was going on until there was a time for war. You taught me something, I say, time of love. Time of hate, time of war. But the last one said there's a time of peace, time of peace. Turn over to Colossians 1. Oh, what a blessed revelation. There's a battle that's going on in every believer. They hate what they see within, and they the Lord's called them, revealed himself, and they're struggling with themselves. You know, I say, well, I'll tell you what, I sure don't want to have to fool with that out there in that world. Buddy, I got the biggest problem right here. What a miracle. Peace. There's some peace. There's a time of peace. In the midst of this hatred, this, against what we see, what we are, in this battle that's going on, what a miracle that the Lord has established and revealed. There's a time that he's revealed it. That there is some peace in heart. What a peace. But it was peace that came at a great cost. To be able to just rest in this gospel right here. And realize that what the Lord's done for me, the Lord did for me. I didn't do anything for myself. But what did this cost? I made a statement one time. There's a high cost of what we call free grace. Colossians 1, verse 16 to 20. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased God. Pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. There's a time for peace. And I didn't know it. I didn't know that Almighty God had reconciled me unto the Lord. I didn't know that until there was a time of love. And then that battle ensued. But in the midst of that battle, what peace when I can contemplate and realize what the Lord has done for me in the shedding of his own blood. Bore all my guilt. Now I'm just going to have to say that I believe him. I believe him. When he bore all of the sins of his people, for whom did he die? Well, I can tell you what he said. He said, I laid down my life for the sheep. That's who he died for. Got a sheep. And he's come and he paid the debt. He bore me. And the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that righteousness which we're made, it's his righteousness. And here's the settling of a believer. Here's some peace right here. Robed in his righteousness, I stand before God, accepted in the beloved, righteous. He has predestinated us unto the adoption of children that we should be holy. Someone says, are you saying that you're holy? I said, in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm holy. Holy. Gabe and I was talking one morning. This thought, truth. You remember in the day that we'll all stand before God and the books will be open. Everybody's going to give account of what they've done in their body. In their body. Whenever the Lord comes in a time of love and He regenerates, removes that heart of stone, gives a heart of flesh, there's a new man created there. There's a new man. And he's created in righteousness and true holiness. That which is born of God sinneth not. Sinneth not. That which is born of God sinneth not. He cannot sin because he's born of God. Now here's something that every believer is just going to have to believe. You're just going to have to believe this. You believe God, you believe the Lord's called you, there's a new man there that sinneth not. And in that day, when we're called, we're not going to all sleep, Paul said, but we're all going to be changed. That which is corruptible is going to put on incorruption. That which is mortal is going to put on immortality. We stand before God in that new man. And the books are going to be open. And the book. And all is found written in the book, created in righteousness and true holiness. Justified. No record. Never sinned. That which is born of God sinneth not. Enter in that which was prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. Now there's peace there. I believe God. There's a time of love, time of the open manifestation of God's love toward his people in regenerating grace. There's a time to hate, a time when that believer begins to see what's within him. It's a time of war, that spiritual battle, whereby the flesh and the spirit, because they're contrary one to the other, that battle is going to rage until we leave this world. And finally, it's a time of peace. A time of peace while we're in this world, peace within the heart, because God has established by his blood peace for the sheep. But there's a time of coming peace. We'll be with him. There'll be no more tears. It'll be over. Brethren, Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. I pray God bless this to our hearts for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and the peace and comfort of his people.